This is a production of Cornell University.
Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, March 21st, meeting of the Employee Assembly. Are there any late additions to the agenda? A couple of things that I'm going to add are our meeting with Mary and David, which is our next meeting, and some information that Linda shared about the new onboarding process. So I'll put those under new business. And then I'll also say, since Leslie Morris and Leslie Meyerhoff are both sick, we'll cross off their committee reports for today. Okay, so next thing, approval of the minutes. Somebody wants to take a quick look at them. Are there any changes?
No. I move that we approve the minutes.
All in favor? Great. And I just realized I just started right in, and we have a guest with us today. Mm-hmm. So I'll...
Two guests.
Okay, sorry. So I think if we can go around and introduce ourselves, and if you guys want to introduce yourselves to us, I'll start. I'm Tanya Grove, and I'm chair of the assembly, and I work in the Department of Theater, Film, and Dance.
I'm Bridget Schaffner, and I'm the vice chair, and I work for Residential and Events Services.
My name is Bob, and I'm visiting, and I'm also working Residential Event Services with Bridget.
I'm Bill Elsie, Bailey Hall.
Kurt Ferguson, School of Hotel Administration.
Linda Crowell, Department of Inclusion and Workforce Services.
I'm Justin Heim, Richard Chen, Technician in the Department of Horticulture.
I'm Eric, I work at the Red
I'm Patty Baby, I work at Student Disability Services.
I'm Lavanya Khan, I work at the Red School.
I'm Bridget Cruzelli, I work in Town Business Partnerships and Foundation Relations.
Gemma Hawthorne, Telecommunications.
I'm Jeannie Goodley, D. Shannon, Facilities Engineer.
Amy O'Donnell from the Assembly's Office.
Great. Well, thank you two for joining us. I'm assuming you maybe come because you're interested in the Employee Assembly. Is that kind of what? Okay. Great. Well, we'll go around and do our regular meeting. If you have any questions, feel free to grab any one of us, and feel free to contribute questions or comments to the meeting as we go along. That all of our meetings are open. Okay. So moving right along. I just wanted to kind of debrief on our breakfast with the board, find out how people felt, how it went, that sort of thing. Anyone have any thoughts or comments?
It was awesome. Mm-hmm. I really thought it was great. It was very nice sitting side by side with our trustees and getting a little bit of one-on-one time talking with them, bringing up a few issues they seem to be very interested in, are just every day, what's your job, what do you do, and what are your concerns, and I hope it keeps happening.
It looks like it's something that will continue to happen, and I think Gemma and Bridget, I think we're the only ones who were here last year. Did you like the format that we did this year where we had one big conversation better than last year with, oh, Kurt, you were there too, than the individual conversation?
I did much better, because it was great. We had our time at our table, and then it opened up around to everybody. I thought that was great.
Okay, so we'll try and do that kind of format again in the future.
The one comment I would have is if we had known that that would be was the format, then we could have focused our individual conversations a little bit more.
Right.
But it was a great format. Mm-hmm. I liked that format. Yeah. Just knowing ahead of time we would have been able
That's
the comment I would have.
Yeah, and I didn't know what Bob's plans were either.
Yeah.
So next year we can coordinate a little bit better.
I think I would suggest one big table if we're going to have one collective conversation, because
yeah.
I felt like everybody was kind of like, you know, looking over their shoulders you know, attention-wise. Like, sort of like leadership breakfast where everybody's together.
Great.
They seemed really interested in the survey and the follow-up in the survey.
And that did go out to them. I don't know if Beth copied everyone, but she sent a note to the rest of the board with the link to the survey and President Scorton's email that came out from the results of the survey, kind of the areas that they were focusing on. So they've been given all of that information. So just taking a look at that. And hopefully they'll bring on some more conversation. just within that, on the trustee stuff, I did have an opportunity as the chair to sit in on the trustee meeting on Friday. And a lot of information, they talked quite a bit about the New York Tech campus, and Beth wasn't there, so she can't report, but quite a bit about the Tech campus. There was a report from the GPSA and the Student Assembly, so they had an opportunity to report about what they've been doing this year. I'll report at the May meeting for them about kind of what the EA's been doing and what's going on with employees. But it was a good meeting. I got to learn a lot more stuff about, you know, Weill Medical, kind of the plans for the Tech campus and where they're thinking about going with that. It's going to primarily, as we've kind of heard from Mary, be run administratively for the most part through Ithaca, so faculty appointments will be in Ithaca. President Scarton did a really nice resolution acknowledging Kent Fox for all of his work on that. So he did a resolution. Overall, it was a good meeting. Yeah?
I know that since it's going to be a part, there's going to be an EA rep on it. Do you know when we're going to start that process?
EA rep on?
I thought with the New York City Tech Campus, there's going to be an EA rep on it.
There isn't anything formal, but since administratively they'll be housed here in Ithaca, it'll be similar to the way we operate with Geneva. Now, I don't know that there will be someone in New York City who's going to come to Ithaca for EA meetings, that sort of thing, but there may be people who were involved with the Tech campus participating in EA. Is that the question?
Well, no, it was just like, have we figured out, like, how are we going to advertise? I mean, because I know there's jobs being posted as we speak, and as we go into next year, we're going to wait a couple of years before we decide to fix the EA incident. I get, you know what I mean? Like, how established is the Tech campus going to be before our presence is going to be a part of it?
That I don't know, but it could be something that we talk about with Mary and David in our meeting next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if when the EU was first established, if there was a Geneva rep. Maybe Amy or Ari might know that history. Was there always a Geneva rep, or is that something that kind of...
I'm not sure there was always a Geneva rep.
We could look it up. So yeah,
but
maybe we can...
I do agree that it's a question that should be addressed as the details of the campus are figured out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can bring that up in our meeting with them. So. Anything else on the board meeting or meeting with the board? Okay. We have no committee reports unless education or personnel have anything that they want to throw out there. I know you started the survey.
Yeah, it is supposed to end on 25th.
Great.
So I'll be able to present it at the next meeting.
Great.
Tanya, is there any more follow-up that we need to do? I know you said Mary was very cool with the changes that mm-hmm. we had suggested for the personnel policy committee.
So we should be connecting with Lauren. I think I'd mentioned that to Jeannie, that we need to connect with Lauren, and she'll start the kind of formal policy review process for that. Okay. So moving on to new business. So elections, do we have people submitting stuff? I know we had one.
Yep.
Okay, so we have
Eric
one.
Eric could be on the table.
What?
Eric could be on the table, turned in materials, and Joe.
Oh, I was going to say, and Joe. Mm-hmm. So we've had two people so far submit materials. For those of you at the table whose terms are ending, who are planning to run again, you have to submit your materials too. So do that through the EA website.
Hopefully we have another one coming today or tomorrow.
Great.
In the vet school.
So I would encourage you to kind of get out there and talk it up with folks. There's going to be another thing in the paw print this week about running for EA.
When is the next information session scheduled for?
Next 2 weeks.
Is that when we have our...
It's when we have our executive meeting.
Yes, Tuesday.
So did we decide to cancel executive and to do...
I think the decision was that we would meet earlier and do the information session, and then afterwards, if we need to follow up with any agenda items.
Yeah, if there are folks, sometimes there aren't people who come to the same. We had one person come to the last info session who had expressed interest and would be really great to the EA. Unfortunately, she has another meeting that meets the same day that we do once a month, the first Wednesday of every month, so she would miss half of our meetings, which would make it really difficult. So she's thinking about what she wants to do, but I really encouraged her to, if she can't be a member of the EA, to join a committee and be involved in some other way.
So the information session then is at noon on the 27th?
I think it's 12:15.
12:15 on the 27th? Okay.
I didn't bring that down.
Yep.
And I'll follow up with, you were going to give me the names of the other two people who came to the last EA meeting. I think this, maybe they're
in a minute.
I didn't pay attention to that part. So I will email the other folks who came to our last meeting and see if they're going to run. Anything else on elections?
Can we get Eric and Bob's contact so we can email them to come to the information?
If they want to come to the information session, or if not, we can certainly. But it's next Tuesday at 12:15 in
B16
in Day Hall. So if you don't get the answers to all your questions here, come to the info session.
Does that work for you guys?
I probably won't be able to come earlier,
mm-hmm.
but I can
yeah.
be there for that.
Next thing under new business. So at the retreat, and Bridget reminded me, at the retreat we had seen a little bit about the notice and respond program. And there has been a, you know, faculty or staff to student video put out, and then there's been a peer-to-peer, you know, student-to-student video put out there. But there's nothing really out there for you know, staff-to-staff or faculty-faculty, that sort of thing. And we talked about it a little bit with Catherine and Jan from Gannett, and they were saying, yeah, it would be great to do one, but it's very expensive. But I just kind of wanted to throw out there, do we think, you know, staff is feeling stressed and anxious, and, you know, aside from work pressures, there's home pressures, do we think that, you know, pushing something from the EA for a staff or a faculty video would be beneficial?
Yeah. I think it's very important that people know the resources available when they're in trouble.
And I think, you know, it's a little bit, you know, Linda and I both facilitate for Notice and Respond, and it's even beyond resources available. It's also about how do we as colleagues have that conversation with someone to say, you know, do you look a little anxious or stressed out? Is everything okay? You know, and sometimes it's not so easy, particularly, you know, with coworkers.
Exactly. Because I think for Notice and Respond for students, we're almost in a parental role with students in
right.
many cases where we're kind of expected
right.
to be, whereas it's a little bit more sensitive when you're talking about someone who you work with
mm-hmm.
every day, that it is a little bit more challenging. People like, I don't want to lose a relationship with them. I don't want them to think I know them into their business. So I do think there's more challenges sometimes when people feel comfortable to kind of intrude on a coworker's personal business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've heard, too,
yeah.
when we run the notice and response. There is a little bit more sensitivity, so I think more tools that could be out there for coworkers
mm-hmm.
to feel more comfortable would be a really good thing.
Maybe there would be a way without the expense of making a video of tagging that on to the other materials. I know that I've been to the notice and response
mm-hmm.
and GAP, and so I know some of those resources, and maybe there's a way
mm-hmm.
that we can be included and learn about how to interact with each other better without going to the extent of making a video.
Right. Yeah, I think the video has kind of been their tool to get a situation in front of people, particularly, you know, none of us, or many of us, I shouldn't say, want to go into a room and kind of do that role play kind of thing to kind of build something for people. So that's kind of why the video is a good tool. But I think whatever we can get out there for staff would be really a beneficial kind of thing.
Yeah,
We do have a couple of slides that I had given to the captain when it was meeting groups that don't have high exposure to students, so it really is about watching out for each other. And one of the questions we asked is, what would the difference be after seeing that video? So it's nice because it's a safe example that people watch, I think, from that standpoint, but to produce a video, we're talking probably minimum 10,000, probably closer to 20.
Framework
of, I don't know if she shared that.
Yeah, she had said, I think she said 25,000.
Well, hopefully we'd be able to break it down a little bit because it would be in-house partially.
Right.
But yeah, we're talking probably 20,000.
Yeah, and you know, I'm thinking too, my hope would be that they could take the adult to student one and modify that a little bit, because there's, you know, it's not homework stress and roommate stress, it's husband stress and workload stress, you know.
And
I mean, it's
taking care of Asian parents.
Probably. Yeah.
That's probably our biggest goal here.
Yeah. So maybe we can... maybe we can add that to our list to talk with Mary and David about a little bit, just to bring that up, and then maybe think about some sort of resolution or something, a recommendation to consider something like that. Okay. Just to talk a little bit in new business, two things I've added, the onboarding thing. Do you want to talk about it, Linda?
Yeah, I can talk about it. So in my role in providing a lot of support services for employees, I had reached out to the onboarding center. Is everybody familiar with the new onboarding center that HR gets rolled out like about a year ago, where every new employee gets individualized attention and gets their picture taken, their transportation, everything all done in one place? So one of the things they have are information resource sheets that new employees can take. And so I was updating them on some of the changes in services that I oversee, as well as ensuring that some of the services people weren't aware of were on them. And as I was going through the resource sheets, I said, well, you know, goodness, there's nothing about the assemblies on these. And I know as somebody who came in new to the university and had not been in the university system, the first time I heard anything about assemblies, which was probably a year or two into my tenure, I had no clue what it was. It was very different, especially coming from the corporate world. So I had asked if there was any way we could get some information about the assemblies put on some of the sheets so that people, as soon as they come in, and people who come in new for the first few weeks are really interested in learning everything they can about Cornell, too, because they're trying to understand Cornell. So I figured it was a really good place where if we put information about the assemblies, there'd be a high likelihood that people who took the sheet would at least see it. So we did a draft. I think Guy did. They reach out to you. Would've been cool if you reached out to you to get some language. I know she said she might, but end of day, they have now included both the university assembly and employee assembly in two different sheets. One is making connections. Other is meeting other people around. Another is, I think it's
the resource and programs.
Resources and programs, which gives a little bit more of an explanation about what it is. So now, as all new people are coming through, they're going to have that available to them. It's another way to learn about this stuff.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
We can just give them the brochure.
It's a fact.
It's like that.
I thought we have a brochure though.
We do.
Oh yeah, we could even look at having a brochure up there because a lot of programs do have the brochures up there.
I guess the question would be, how many do they go through and how many do we have? I'm just thinking about replenish what?
They don't cost that much. It was just a couple hundred dollars.
So. Yeah, I'm just wondering if, you know, if they go, I mean, I guess we're not onboarding that many people these days, but yeah, I mean, that just would be nice.
Which I just thought that was really colorful, and we spend a lot of time designing and laying it out. And not to say...
Like wellness is one example of something that Bobby's resource chart, and wellness has now put brochures up there, too, in Spanish as well, English and Spanish. So it might make sense if there's somebody who sees it. You know, they need one.
So how do we get that up there?
We could send it up to the manager of the onboarding center. Where is the onboarding center? It's up at East Hill Plaza. And the kind of neat thing is when you drive over to it, the first two spaces in the parking lot are reserved for onboarding. So there's a sign right there that says that. so that they get spot rates there.
The only is their parking, don't probably understand.
So, yeah.
So, Amy, can you send them up there?
Sure.
Yeah, that would be great to have there.
And let me know if I need to, if we should print some more.
I think that's great. You know, one of the other things that I could think about just in following up, and again, I think it would depend on how many employees, but it would almost be nice if we had some sort of stock EA email, if we could get a list of kind of new employees as they come in to send an email that says, you know,
Welcome
to Cornell as the employee assembly. We're here to represent you as an employee and blah, 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 that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But I'll contact Judy Small about the brochure, so I'll just ask her if, or maybe I'll ask Mary first.
It might also make sense to have you come for like a couple of minutes or maybe to talk about it, to see if there's anyone who would be like that, and have people to talk to him about. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll ask him. Anything else on the onboarding?
Okay, good. We got the copy of the two little blurbs that I haven't put in.
So next, our next EA meeting, we'll have Mary and David with us. So I just want to kind of get some thoughts from folks about what we might want to talk with them about. I think, you know, I've got on here the EA rep for Tech Campus is something that we can bring up with them. Gary made a suggestion that I wanted to toss out to the group. You know, rather than have it being the typical meeting that we'd have with David and Mary, that we each take it upon ourselves to invite another employee from somewhere else on campus and specifically invite them to come to the meeting and just participate and be involved in the conversation, so it's not just the EA, and then it's more of a conversation similar to what we had with the board rather than a question and answer session. And I just wanted to see what people thought about that.
I think it's a great idea. I've already invited somebody. I hope she can make it.
We talked about it exactly a little bit. So.
So we won't give them free questions? Is that what you're saying? Because it would be more of a conversation.
Right. Well, I think what tends to happen is, you know, we give questions and then it's like 20 minutes of him kind of talking at us as opposed to us really having any sort of conversation.
But how would that be any different if we have our friend? Because I just feel like whatever question you ask him, whether or not he got the question beforehand, or he's hearing it for the first time, he's still going to get a long verbal response. So, I mean, I would just feel bad having a guest here who thinks they're going to really be able to engage in the president, and he's still sitting back there speaking at it.
Well, I guess what I would try to do is send to the two of them that this is kind of the format that we want to do, and we want it to be more of an open conversation, you know, and I think we can give some, you know, key themes to talk about. You know, and if, I think if he throws out the, rather than us asking him questions, him asking us questions. So if he was to throw out the question of, how are things going? How's work? Do you think people would talk? Curtis, how's it going in Statler?
No, I'm just trying to figure. Like that, because I just feel like that. Like, I don't think it's a bad idea to invite somebody else.
Right.
I don't think that's really important to make sure. But I don't see how that would be any different than when we do the staff forum with the president. And it's that Q&A question, and still one question is asked.
Yeah, it'd be a little different than trustees because they don't know much about us, so we were really kind of telling them about us, where President Gordon really knows what we do, so we would...
Right, but I think yes, he knows that you work at the Geneva Extension and what it's like, you know, what Geneva is, but does he really know that you've lost 3 coworkers and these are the stresses that you're facing and this is where improvement needs to be made so that he can take that back? And I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, we could go in there and say, oh, what's going on with the tech campus, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's our 30 minutes and it's done.
Yeah. I think for bringing somebody, it's also part of, you know, the whole outreach of the EA and exposure, and even if they're a potential new member, so that they can just see what somebody else who maybe we talk to, hey, what happened in EA today? You bring them and let them
see what we do, even if all they do is listen, and then they go back and spread the word of, I sat in on the meeting with the president, and it was actually really informative. So I think just them sitting there, even if they don't get to answer a question or ask one,
I thought one of the reasons to bring a guest was going to change the format of the conversation. And I just don't see that connection.
Well, what I'm hoping is that rather than us asking him questions, he would ask us questions. So we're talking about what's going on the staff level, not asking him what's going on at this level.
Right. Causing him to be engaged with us. I like that idea.
Does that?
It might not work, but we like the idea. I mean,
I'm kind of hesitant about that idea. Like, I mean, I guess this is what I thought our charge was, and the reason why we had this meeting is for us to make sure that we are bringing accountable questions next. And I just remember some of the things that we got from our last, when we had meetings with them, with the EA survey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really engaging them on that. And then the last time we met was really engaging on what type of follow-up are you going to do. And I mean, I thought one of the nice things, outcomes, we just had an all-staff meeting in the hotel school, and they spent 15 minutes talking about the staff engagement survey. And so I thought that was a good follow-up. And so like now what I would like to hear from like the president and mayor, like what's going on with success, because that's what's going on right now. What types of conversations are going on in terms of last year?
Here's my question to you. So you just said that about the Statler and having those meetings about the survey. And so you have follow-up questions, but I would guess that the majority of the rest of us sitting in this room, we haven't had our units or whatever have real conversations about the survey. So using you as an example, I would charge to say to President Scorton, well, if Statler's having these conversations, why isn't Arts and Sciences? And what are you going to go back and talk to the dean, or are you going to go and talk to Cal's about what they're doing about this? You know, and kind of push that. But if we're not talking, if we're just listening to him talk, we don't ever get that.
But I thought that would be part of the question. So like if we come instead of him asking, tell us about what you're doing and how's life, if we have pose questions like, so we noticed that some units have taken action steps. What are the other units, and what can we? I still think one of the questions we always talked about was bringing the dean and the unit reps to one of these meetings. And can we start implementing that for next year?
Okay.
And so I just still think there's a lot more challenging questions we can ask instead of trying to do the engagement. Have you really got what? On the micro level, what each individual is feeling.
Okay. So can we make our questions? So I heard you throw out two things there. So you threw out SIP, which I think is a big thing, and a conversation piece with salary improvement program raises. You know, that the Statler has put forward results of the survey and have had a conversation about it. What are other units doing and how are they, how is our President Scorton and or Mary kind of staying on track with that?
I think maybe the difference is instead of giving that question to them ahead of time like we did before, we just say we're going to talk about the engagement survey, and we have four questions associated with that. And maybe we come up with those questions, but you give them to them then versus giving them to them ahead of time. So he's just not practiced in what's our answer for this, what's our answer for this. And maybe there's like X number of topics and there's X number of questions, but those questions aren't taken ahead of time to the president.
Okay.
I actually suggest doing it the other way around. These are the questions we're going to ask, but we want to have most of the time focused on the asking, and we don't want the long comments at the beginning to sort of try to anticipate all of these questions in advance.
So what you're saying is to send him the questions, but say, you know, this is kind of the theme that we want. Here are some questions, but we want it to be more of a conversation.
Just, you know, tell them the format that you want and that you don't along with an introduction. And
yeah, because I think last time. What? Well, I think last time we led in with something with the tech campus, and I think that was it, if I remember correctly.
I've seen him talk quite a number of times, just extemporaneously, and he has shown that he can think on his feet very quickly, and part of his shtick to buy himself some time is just to kind of talk while he's thinking on the other side of his brain of whatever answer he can come up with. So I'm not sure either approach is going to make much of a difference in his response. If you give him the questions ahead of time, he's going to formulate those answers. But also, if you don't give it to him ahead of time, he will vamp until he comes up with essentially those same answers. So I'm not sure it really makes too big a difference. And I don't know how politically you want to play it, like ambushing him with trick questions or, you know, giving the benefit of the doubt ahead of time.
So can we not do the rest and say this is the amount of time we have, this is the thing we want to think about, and we need to cover X amount of questions?
Yeah, he knows the time limit that we have, and we give him like a typically kind of a briefing information, and we can include some questions, but I think, you know, including questions and then saying, you know, we want to leave 10 minutes to the end or whatever. We want to have some time to really have conversation rather than just have you answer our questions. Just to maybe talk about what might be going on staff levels.
The number two stress things that came out when people are most stressed out about on the survey, number one was personal finance and debt, and number two was job loss. And in fact, at our table is the breakfast with the trustees the day, Boss was sitting next to me. He said, "Well, when is the job loss going to be over?" He said to me, "I said I can't answer that for you, but I think maybe asking for just some general statements. I mean, I think SIP will help to address a little bit the first one, but maybe asking some questions around that I think might be helpful because it was the number two stress for employees." I don't know it specifically, but maybe if they can just talk about what the status of that looks like.
And I imagine that's going to be a question that he's going to say, well, I'll have Mary.
Yeah.
He's going to have Mary answer
that
one.
Right, and that's why in advance of, I think, Mary to have the heads up that maybe it would be good, just because it was the number two stressor out there, and what are we going to do to try to help people? Because even if, and she had said to us, I think the last talk, she said, you know, pretty much the bulk of that is done. Obviously, she can't predict if the state cuts the program or something.
Right.
So what can we do to start bringing people to moving to this next Cornell, past what we've been through, which has, you know, been very hard for a lot of employees. So I guess less of them saying, you know, are there more coming up? To just say a lot of people are obviously stuck there because that came out. What are we going to do to try to help heal and move us forward? I think is a very real question that I think a lot of people have.
I hear that all the time. Other thoughts that people have?
I'd be interested in knowing, so the colleges and units are doing diversity plans, but to what extent are those diversity plans just decided at the top level? And so, like, sort of the same example that Curtis gave about the Statler, so everyone's brought in on this conversation about the staff survey. To what extent are people responsible for all bringing input in on their diversity plans and then being accountable for those diversity plans?
Okay.
And that goes with towards the administration.
Yeah, that whole initiative. If it's only at the top that you are making that plan and being held accountable, to what extent is it really going to be effective? But maybe it is filtering down. It hasn't filtered down to me yet in my unit. I don't know if other people have heard much about the diversity plans. What I've heard from somebody in one meeting is that they have their diversity council that's with representation of employees, and that council's been tasked with helping to come up with what their five objectives are. And so I don't know how it's being done other places, but I know Napoleon and another community, and I'm sure that would be the other day because he's on the diversity council.
So then it also makes you wonder, is it just that council that is also then responsible, or are we making it a broader initiative so everyone's part of it?
I'm wondering if it's being done, you know, unit by unit, or whether there is, that's a good question, whether there's kind of a preferred approach that's being communicated. So it might be good to have them come and talk about the same question.
Have Manette come in.
But I'd like to know what his expectations are. Yeah.
For staff.
Mm-hmm.
Any other things?
For David and Mary?
Okay.
So should we invite somebody?
So I think we should invite people if you choose, if you want, you know, great.
No, I like that idea of inviting somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just thought because you said we were going to change the format, and I was like, I don't know how more people want to make for it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to find, maybe we can get this room. We're not going to fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to manage the expectations of what we bring.
Okay.
We might need a bigger
room. Yeah, Amy's going to check and see if the space is available.
Amy, you want us to let you know for bringing someone for food, right?
That'll be great.
Know what to order.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moving along to old business. Geneva meeting date. What the heck did we talk about in your meeting?
We talked about possibly going in June so that newly elected folks could actually partake in the trip, and that that might be a better option, even though it wasn't on the poll. But
So basically there's only one of the 3 dates available that Bridget and I could make it, and that was the date that I think the fewest people could make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got me to kind of thinking that it seems silly to bring the current EA as it stands to Geneva because people will be cycling off. And then having our celebration kudos thing for this year when the new EA is in session, as opposed to kind of it being the end of the current year. So the idea would be to do the kind of kudos luncheon and kind of the end of the term. At the last May meeting, which Bridget and I could get, we just had an earlier in the day conflict, we could do the lunch meeting and have that be our kudos lunch and a thank you to EA members who are transitioning off the board. And then our second meeting in June, our last meeting before we go on the summer break, would be when we go to Geneva. So it would be kind of the new EA, and that might be a calmer time for a lot of people because it won't be kind of end of year stuff going on. I don't know what people thought about that.
Was that in the second meeting in June or the first meeting?
The first meeting in June would be electing officers and stuff like that. So it would be the June 16th or whatever that Wednesday is. 15th.
The Wednesday would be the 13th?
No.
Yeah.
13th.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, then
no.
The 20th.
The
first
20th.
Meeting is the 6th. The 20th. Okay, so the 20th. Okay, all the people looking at calendars. So the 20th, it would be the June 20th.
I thought that was a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how everybody else is impacted with that.
And I just thought that might be nice because then if anything comes out of the Geneva meeting that we need to take action on, it'll be the current standing EA, as opposed to the EA who's saying, you know, half of whom may be saying, well, I'm done, so.
Yeah.
So if that sounds workable, then it would look like the May meeting would have everyone, I think you were the only other, the May 16th didn't work for you,
mm-hmm.
But would a lunch work for you? I think it's the 16th, whatever that May meeting date is. So May 16th, if we still had our regular lunchtime meeting, would that still work for you?
I have a student who has an exam pretty much the whole
Gotcha.
So, but that's okay. Go ahead.
So then we'll maybe plan to do that if that works for folks. Sounds like a plan. Mm-hmm. So you want to see if the staff mm-hmm. is available for a luncheon? Yes, ma'am. We've got a bunch of kudos people. So. Okay. Next thing, just an East Hill parking update. I've forwarded that petition along to the infrastructure committee. Kathy, you're on that committee, and who else? Phil, are you? No.
David's
on infrastructure. And I guess they have not talked about it yet, but it was forwarded along to Sean, who's the chair of that committee, and he's going to look at it. I did talk to someone over at East Hill Plaza today who brought up the issue of A-Lot, and I doubt anybody here knows. Does anyone park in A-Lot and know how close to capacity it is?
I go by it every morning on my way into work, and there seems to be quite a bit of space in it. But how many people work at East Hill Plaza?
There's, just who signed the petition were like 150 or 180. Would there be that many spots?
That's very interesting.
No, it's full.
I think that would be a little tough.
Really
well, so what this person brought up is to say, you know, what if everyone at East Hill Plaza said, I want an A-Lot permit? What would happen? So that was kind of their question, and I said I would call transportation and ask the question, but I would bring it to the infrastructure committee as well to say what's the capacity of A-Lot and what happens if, I mean, A-Lot's never been full to my knowledge, so what if all of a sudden it was, then what happens?
That's a really good point.
Well, and what happens then on, like, moving weekend and all of that when they take everybody out of A-Lot?
Well, they ask them to find other ways to work, and
they tell you can park at B-Lot or something like that, but...
Yeah, our department really is actually making arrangements for the local church.
For you.
We actually have a shuttle that goes
too bad.
Mm-hmm. I think,
Yeah, so it was just a question that they brought up, so, you know, I don't know if they'll get a mass of folks to do that and see what happens. But it does raise the question of, you know, should there be another free parking option on that end of campus as opposed to that
B-Lot.
End of
campus?
Yes. B-Lot used to be free.
Now, where is B-Lot?
Yeah,
that's
cool.
Okay.
It's an old lot now.
Yeah.
And when did it stop being free?
Oh, about at least 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a while.
But that could be another question too.
That is an excellent question, because then you're not really, there isn't any income coming in then, because you're losing all the income from Eva. But
right. And they just bring up the question of, you know, to get to A-Lot, it's ridiculously long, because you have to take a bus from East Hill Plaza down, then you have to transfer and get another bus.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a half hour to get up, you know, what, 2 miles, 3 miles?
And how about B-Lot? Is there a bus that, well, that's also a paid lot?
Right, it's a paid lot. And they're a perimeter lot, too. I think the EHOB is going to be like $350, so it's still at kind of like that perimeter or lower tier rate, but
it's still
you know, you're going from zero to $350.
How are you going to make them pay?
Well, they'll have to have permits.
They have to have a Cornell permit.
I mean, but I thought also with EHOB, there's like the grocery store and stuff like that. I mean,
there's a designated Cornell area of the lot, and then the rest of it is community parking, but... They do keep track, and if they see the same car parked there every day, they'll ticket.
But
they have signs posted.
Like, I mean, that's why I don't know. Like,
well, no. Cornell Police doesn't monitor that part of it, but no. I don't think they monitor that part.
Cornell Police doesn't get parking tickets. Parking stuff. Cornell Police gives lots of other tickets.
Yeah, they
get
lots
of
other
tickets. I mean, if you're parked in a handicapped space,
Yeah, but I don't think, I think because half of East Hill Plaza is a Cornell designated lot, and then the other half is not Cornell designated. Someone tickets. I think I think the grocery store and stuff brings someone in. From what I remember a while ago, because I had talked to someone about parking up there, and taking the old shuttle down to where I work because it was free, and they said, no, you can't do that. So, anyway, that's kind of where they are with East Hill parking.
When is that slated to go into effect?
July 1st.
That's great.
Being somebody who has parked a whole lot before, we've had issues with the parking people and permits and such, and I don't know if you'll get the same responses that we did, but we did have posed questions about having a whole bunch of permits and the lot filling up, and the response to us was that the permit allows you to park, it does not guarantee
you a spot.
So they can issue you thousands and thousands of permits. It's first come, first served.
Yes, and I've spoke to transportation about that in the past, and they oversell their lots by like 25%, banking on a percentage of employees not being there that day. But they'll get to a certain threshold where they can't issue any more permits. So they won't, you know, they won't oversell a lot that much or overgive a lot that much. But yeah, that's, it says that, I think, right on the parking permit even. Any other thoughts about parking?
We should encourage more teleworking so that we don't need to be parking.
I think we need, I think that...
I'll call and work on my back porch.
You know, and I think that that's great, and maybe that's something else that we need to talk to David and Mary about the notion of how do we get leadership at the midline levels to say that just because I don't see your face doesn't mean you're not working.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the big issue, that people feel like you need to be here. What if somebody needs you and they need to see your face? Kind of thing.
Yeah. And we just had a building electrical shutdown. We were given the option of either taking personal or vacation day, or they would relocate us to another building, but working from home was not an option. Like one day. It just seems a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that there needs to be some more education on the manager end for saying, you know, that these are viable options. Especially, you know, I think people saw that if you look at the Chronicle, and I think it was in the paw print too, but a letter went out again encouraging supervisors to be supportive of their staff using alternative, either, you know, telecommuting or alternative transportation, or changing work hours so that they don't have to drive to campus. So whether you wanted to do something like work, you know, 4 9-hour days or whatever it was, or you want to do, you know, one day work from home or something like that to try and be flexible with the gas prices.
One thing I learned is that you can't have, because I take the bus, I moved from Fall Creek, which I took the number 10 up mm-hmm. every day, out to Brooktondale, which is one of a couple of options there, and I rely on that. And I work weekends and evenings almost every week, and it's kind of, and the buses, of course, don't run mm-hmm. at very regular hours through Brooktondale then. And especially after like 7 o'clock, there's no bus service. So I inquired about getting a pass for either A lot or B lot, because that's closer. And they won't, if you have an Omni pass bus thing, they won't give you parking pass. You can't have both, which I think is ridiculous. Yeah.
See, now they used to, and I don't know, have you just talked to them about this year? Because I have coworkers, and I myself have had up to this year a pass. Like, I have my designated lot, but I also have a different lot for night and weekend. And I know people who don't drive in during the week, they take the bus, but they have to be here for rehearsals or whatever at night, so they have a night and weekend permit for a lot.
Yeah. And I investigated that. They won't do, if you have an Omni pass, which is the two-zone
right.
pass, they won't issue you. They're not permitted to issue you.
But I thought you had 30. Because I got Omni, I get 30 parking little tickets a year.
I think the thing that's hard with that is you can, like, you may use those if you're saying, oh, I'm only going to be working half a day or this or that. He would have to use it for kind of work reasons as opposed to, oh, I've got a dental appointment, so I need my car that day.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
So it's
How far up did you go?
I was email contact with, and I told them, you know, I don't agree with this, but I abide by it, but that's ridiculous. Yeah. And the reasoning is that both are subsidized. Buses are subsidized and the parking is subsidized. And I said, wait a minute, if I'm buying, I didn't go into this with them because I didn't want to expend the energy. If I'm purchasing a parking, a B lot parking pass for whatever it is, $700 a year, you're not subsidizing that. I'm purchasing that. And it's not a not subsidized by it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want to get it.
Yeah, I would see if you could talk to John Durbin. I don't know if you went up
to
John.
I didn't.
Yeah, I would talk with John because there should be some sort of happy medium for someone. I mean, has to be employees at the university who work off hours, who need transportation, and
I would evenings almost exclusively and weekends from now until the end of June. Mm-hmm.
Do you need a parking pass for Central Campus on the weekend?
Some places, it's restricted 24/7.
But your office can buy those, too.
I asked, and they said no.
Oh, your office said no. Yeah. Oh, okay. Because I know sometimes, like, for Saturday, mm-hmm. we have, like, weekend events, our office buys taxes on these. We're allowed to bring the garage, but they need to be the 90s.
See, that's the problem. It's the discrepancy from department to department.
Well, I mean, that's the department,
right.
Too, but I mean...
Yeah, that's the other thing, the discrepancy between what unit on campus will do versus another, how much money they have to do those things. But, I mean, I would bring that... Yeah, I would bring that further. There's got to be some sort of night and weekend solution option to look at. Any more on parking? Anyone else have any parking problems? Okay. So moving on to the Cornell Recreation Connection. So I heard a little bit more back from Cheryl. And I think you remember someone came and talked to us about their wanting to do an event. So they essentially want us to buy pizza for the event, for them to have an event about the Cornell Recreation Connection and how people can volunteer and get involved. So I wanted to kind of get folks' opinion on that. If that's something that we want to do, if we say, I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, yes, this is an opportunity available to employees, but it kind of feels like we're giving them money to have a party kind of thing. So I'm wondering, you know, they had talked about potentially a volunteer forum and that sort of thing, which to me seems a little more... something that the EA would invest in, but I wanted to kind of get other people's thoughts or opinions on that.
Okay, that's good. Question.
Yeah.
What part of the budget would
it
come out of?
We haven't even gotten that. I mean, it's not something that we would normally do. They came in and they kind of asked, and we haven't even gotten that far to even look and investigate. What'd you say, Bridget?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I could support perhaps a forum on volunteering campus-wide, mm-hmm. Community-wide, but specifically for the recreation community, it doesn't
seem... Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it just feels like, okay, well, if Beth came in and said, well, we want to do something about the wellness program, can we have money for a pizza luncheon? It just seems like that's not necessarily our role.
And if we talk about volunteering, you know, putting time into the EA too, so that there was at least a tiny bit of EA presence mm-hmm. there too, and it could then come out of our recruiting or something budget, then it might make sense. But mm-hmm. you're right, because for that you could have a bunch of committees standing right. behind saying, could you buy pizza for us too? And everybody, and you right. know, how would you choose? And,
right. and yeah. here we told Leslie she couldn't have her survey unless we. Got the money back from the sound system.
We did.
Drink. Yeah, but
okay.
I just think
yeah.
we got it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Just to think about, Leslie also does that monthly newsletter.
Right.
Employees, you know, the event could be promoted in that.
Right, and that's kind of what we were
had talked about after they left here, or Pat left here, saying that, you know, we could kind of help them promote CRC and that sort of thing. But it does raise the question of, you know, should there be some sort of volunteerism event? And, you know, maybe it's part of, you know, some other thing that happens on campus, like the Education Exploration Day kind of thing, that, you know, there's a booth on volunteering and options for campus community.
But where students can go to the SASB, if you're a student organization, mm-hmm. ask for money. There's
right.
no comparable thing like that with employees, right? If
no.
on a certain organization. So there really is no place for them to turn for money.
You just can't have pizza at the meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't always expect to have food at every meeting I go to.
I mean, I think that they're looking at having pizza to entice people to come to their meeting to hear more about their recreation connection. And I mean, I just think that that's, you know, one group on campus, and that there's a lot of other groups on campus that staff could get involved with. And if we're going to do something or be involved in or support something, that we should, you know, financially, then we should be making it about the big picture rather than just this one little group.
One other thing, and I think going back to Kathy's concern, is that unlike the wellness program, they do get subsidy through
mm-hmm.
HR in order to function, while PRA is completely independent. And we do recognize that they do provide an important outlet for staff. I know I used it and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that. I think what it's really getting down to is we really don't have the money, or I don't know if we have the money, because... And I think that, I don't, so I guess me saying no is not because I don't think it's a worthwhile event. If we had an extra $200, I would say, of course, let's give it to them, because why give back money at the end of the year if they're asking for it and if they're doing something that's going to promote
mm-hmm.
staff engagement? So I think that's an important piece right there, and it already fulfills our mission. Even though it's one organization, it's just like, why do we donate and participate with the United Way? Even though I might not be related to any of those charities or donate necessarily to those charities, but we still do it. I just think that if we don't have the financial resources, we should just be upfront and honest and say, well, yes, we would really like to do this. We think this is a very worthwhile. We just don't have $200 or whatever to pay for the pizza, but here's the alternative. Not to say that, well, because you're only one thing, I just don't see that point.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I'm also just... In using your United Way example, like the EA can't donate EA money to the United Way. But each of us individually, I mean, if we wanted to each individually say, okay, we think this is, I mean, it's the same thing with the bulb garden that we had talked about. You know, each of us could individually contribute to that, but the EA, we can't make an EA donation.
Well, I mean, we didn't do a financial donation, but I mean, like with the EA, we donated part of it with their functions when we have the food for staff. We incorporated it.
Mm-hmm.
And some people might not believe in the mission of the United
mm-hmm.
Way. But yet we still took that on as a cause and said this is overall good and we support this mission, regardless of the micro opinions
right.
of some individuals. And I'm just saying, this event, I think that almost overwhelmingly we all would say have been benefited.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference between this and other organizations, though, is that they don't receive HR support or any kind of resources from the university in order to function. And I think if we did have the money, I would support them receiving. I just think the reality is we don't have the budget for it. And I think that's what we need to tell them, is just that we don't have the budget for it. Not that we don't support your mission, we don't think it's singular, but we just really don't have the money in order
well,
to fund
there,
it.
Well, there is money in all the different categories that we have. We don't have anything budgeted for that.
Yes.
I mean, there is money that will probably be returned back to the university.
I guess I'm kind of on the same question with you. I don't know if how many groups or clubs are available to staff on campus that are looking for support or whatever.
Yeah.
And if they're looking to the EA to help them some way, then I think I agree that we should be helping them all. And whether there's some kind of forum where we say part of our mission is to support these organizations that do things specifically for staff, and we'll highlight you at our table when we set up once a year, whatever we do. I don't know
we'll add a blurb about you in our paw print article. We'll make sure you're represented as the onboarding center or give them advice. I guess I don't know how many.
Yeah, I don't know that there are a ton of groups out there, but I was just thinking that, you know, one of the things that they said that they wanted to do was to highlight volunteerism on campus. And so my thought would to be if the EA wanted to or is interested in buying into it, rather than just saying, okay, CRC, here's money for pizza, do we make it more of a recruitment event, but recruitment overarching of volunteerism on campus? So we have maybe Cheryl McGraw there who talks about volunteering for commencement and volunteering for Dragon Day, and you know, we've got whoever coordinates Slope Day volunteers there, you know, and talk about how you can get involved.
I actually think that would be nice because when I first started and we were all going up to Geneva,
mm-hmm.
and everyone was talking about how they were going to do stuff at Slope Day, and they had done it for years and years and years, we wouldn't even consider in our department even saying, oh, we should get involved in Slope Day, because it would just be, you know, like we get the... And I think that's an actual staff issue,
mm-hmm.
where some people feel like they can't volunteer
mm-hmm.
for things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, doing something like that could bring people in, and if we start hearing people saying things like, you like, oh, I don't, you know, it's frowned upon or this or that, then maybe it's an action that we as EA could take forward to say, you know, there's people out there who want to get involved, who want to be more of the campus, but are afraid to volunteer because they're not allowed time or they're not, for whatever reasons, and we could push that mission forward.
I think that actually would be something we should do, because actually I signed up for EA before I asked for permission, because I knew it would be very strongly discouraged, and it was after the fact.
I think in general we should look into that volunteering policy for at least not exempt staff, because a lot of them can't because they have to make up the time or take vacation time, and every unit is different. I don't know if there is one policy for that.
Is that the unit discretion?
But is there a recommendation there? Like, there is a recommendation from Mary that we encourage, you know, 90 minutes of wellness time during the week. Is there a recommendation that we encourage
participation? I mean, it's greater level of engagement where you work, and,
mm-hmm.
and especially if we're talking about people right now are so like this. I think to rebuild people and feeling that sense of Cornell
right.
and being part of it, and what better way to engage people than to have them kind of give and be part of something
mm-hmm.
bigger. And so I think right now is an ideal time for us to, and so many people are afraid to leave their workspace right now,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's a real or just a perceived, if I'm out of here, that's not a good thing. And I think if there's a way we could encourage that, and there's some really groups on campus that I don't think people are aware of that could really help to connect them to the community more. So I think it'd be a real neat thing. I mean, they do it around students all the time. Students always, there's so many things
yeah.
going on for students, but what are we doing for campus life
mm-hmm.
for employees?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ari, did you have something else?
I was just going to the student activity fees. The student model is quite different because
yeah.
they're paying a lot of money to Cornell to provide all
right.
sorts of services.
Right.
Part of that is an activity fee that is basically decided by the student assembly and the graduate professional student
mm-hmm.
assembly, and there is no analog for employees.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose there could be, but then, you know, whatever money is going into there is going into wages or other compensation.
Right. Yeah, I'm just wondering if, you know, this is an opportunity, since Cheryl's involved in the Recreation Connection, is this an opportunity for us to partner with HR and with the Recreation Connection and with a variety of other opportunities on campus for employees to kind of build something that would promote more interaction or more investment in Cornell beyond, I come to my desk and I'm here at 8 and I leave at 4:30 and that's it, and I don't care about Cornell other than that. So that's just kind of...
I think that'd be more supportive
mm-hmm.
of the CRC than just giving them money for pizza.
Yeah.
Because it's just a one-shot deal.
Right.
And who, there could, four people could show
right.
up.
Right.
And that didn't promote them at all. Mm-hmm. It just supported some cold pizza.
They should give like a raffle away for a free bus ticket to New York City for volunteers or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or some of the meeting and name could be in a raffle for one of their friends. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To volunteer, you get, you know, a discount on a rent.
A free ticket to employee celebration. Something.
Yeah. Something. Mm-hmm. I think they'd get more volunteers if they get that, and it's not going to cost them that much.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll talk to Cheryl and see what her thoughts are and see where we can go from there. I don't know where they are in their planning of the event, but that was kind of something that they had talked about, kind of focusing on volunteerism.
We could do something around the care fund as well.
Mm-hmm.
We could do something like that,
mm-hmm.
of ways to
do. Yeah, I mean, I think that there's all kinds of different ways that we can reach out. I mean, there's even just in looking at your Making Connections, could we have representatives from these Making Connections groups there?
Exactly.
To talk about, you know, because for many of us who have been at Cornell for a long time, unless you bump into them, you may not know that half of these organizations exist on campus, unless you're out there looking for them, and it might be just a nice opportunity. Okay. Open forum. Anybody have anything?
I have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
So you had mentioned earlier about the first meeting in June being electing officers here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone else feels this way, but my understanding is there's term limits on like the chair position.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that, and would we ever consider revisiting that?
Before my time, Ari?
It was there.
Before your
before the office in 2005, I think the idea was to keep, I mean, as with any term, was to keep people from becoming too entrenched, because it's good to have some sharing of these positions and opportunities over time. But they're up to the DA and they can be changed.
Okay.
So the term limit at this point is what, 2 years on any one position? Is that
you're elected for 1 year to a position, and then you can run for a second concurrent year, and then after that you cycle off, but you can run again after that. Because Donna Goff was president then off, and she was president for, or chair for...
2 years that I'm aware of.
No, she said three. She was on then off, then on, I don't know. Last year, because I did her certificate wrong. Or I said something wrong last year. Anyway, so yeah, so that is
that. Anyone else have any thoughts on that? Whether that works or whether it's
I think it would be something we could revisit.
Definitely. I believe that if someone was running for something we didn't feel comfortable with, then they probably wouldn't win the majority of the vote. So.
Yeah. Okay. But I just think, you know, in leadership research, it tends to show that you know, impact of leadership sometimes can take a few years. The first year's really getting to know, you know, the second year's getting up to speed, and then, you know, okay, so selfishly, I think, hypothetically, if, you know, I wanted to nominate Tanya for a third year.
I second that.
Okay, so we're going to look at you know, stretching out with something on the meeting. Be interested in the third year. You know, where from where I sit, I feel like this is my third going into my fourth year on EA, and I feel like we're really starting to get some peace. I feel like we're starting to make things happen, and, you know, if she were interested, I know this is not the meeting, you know, I think the leadership has been very good, and I would think to see us have changed it if everybody else felt differently because it's in the room.
And I agree with you.
I've certainly been observing in the assembly lately, and a related issue that's been reported to my other assembly that Fortet has spoken a lot with me about this, which is the importance of having transition and membership and thinking about, you know, the future and setting other people up to be able to take on increasing responsibility is very important, and it's certainly something that I think only in recent years have we gotten more cognizant enough, and I think that's a reflection of how well things have been developing
PTA and other assemblies. But regardless of the term limit issue, I think it's really important to be thinking about you know, who's interested in taking on these responsibilities in the future, and are they getting enough opportunities to be ready for it.
And I think we're not exactly comparable to the student group because we're here. I mean, Seth is here for the longer term, where students are here for the shorter term. So I think we have a little bit different perspective than them from that standpoint. But I just throw it out there to think about. This is something I've been thinking about. Whether or not we want to take any action.
Would it be a resolution we have to make?
Kindness resolution writer, would you like to write that resolution?
Write yourself in this chair.
So basically, we're saying.
We're not saying anything because, first of all, this is the old EA. There will be a new EA.
Right.
I mean, we can. I am not opposed to writing a resolution to look at changing that. I'm not saying that I'm putting my name to do it. So that's another thing, because I've been making suggestions. I can put something.
And I would like to see the issue of succession put into the resolution where we do recognize that even if we were to say somebody would be in a position for 3 years, that succession is something that we still would need to consider.
Right.
In
doing that, but I just
would hate to
see
us limited by it if we were to make a decision to
want to extend somebody's
term.
So is that something we
want
to put on the agenda for next meeting?
Yeah, we can
put on and to discuss what it is. Discussion.
No, not next meeting. I thought that's very important.
Oh, then well, he's there for half hour, so we can
discuss
after. And I know we are at time.
Yes.
So,
I'm moving adjourned.
All in favor? Okay.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.